This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know, hear from the experts, authors, and others, and hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, you love the roar of a Harley-Davidson, don't you? Wait until you don't hear their latest model throwing a party. No, you're not. The guy we're talking to throws parties. You're just having people over. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is at an airport in Texas.
That's right, I am. I've been at the border all weekend, Phil, and I will tell you what I saw firsthand.
Ready with eyes wide open, Jay Capadonia is here.
If you wear contacts or know someone who does, I've got a story that will gross you out, but give some good advice as well.
A cautionary tale. And dreaming of the big bucks, it's Chris Martin.
Phil, the World Cup is officially over, but even the losers of the World Cup are winners. Cha-ching!
That's all coming up, and thank you for tuning in today on this Monday. A lot to talk about, and Jennifer, you saw the border, and you sent me a little note, and you didn't give me any details, but you said what you saw has changed your perspective on the whole illegal immigration issue, so please do tell.
Well, you have to kind of see it for yourself, Phil, and that's what I was kind of getting at, is you can feel however you want about the immigration issue, but until you see these kids, and I'm not going to lie, I don't like kids. I don't have kids. I mean, I'm not like one of these, oh, the kids are adorable. You know, I mean, kids are okay. But these little guys coming across the border, they don't have their video games or their Disney movies in the backseat of the car like that, you know, how many more minutes, mom, dad, are we almost there with the area? There's none of that stuff. They are walking for 12, 15 days by themselves, these 7, 8, 9-year-old kids. And they get across the border and they're thrilled to be here because they have been told that this is where it's at. This is the promised land. The streets are paved with gold. You know, they've been lied to. Their parents have been lied to by the coyotes who are trying to get them over. So feel how you will about the parents or the people who, you know, want to come across the border and take everything and just suck up resources. These are kids who didn't have any choice in it at all. They've been through a hellacious journey. And, you know, I my hats are off to the Catholic Charities and Save the Children and the people down at the border who are just like, you know what, feel how you want, but just give them something to wear, give them a good meal. They're dehydrated, they're tired, but they all have this determination and strength about them because they've been through living hell for the last 2 weeks.
When you were down there, Jen, did you actually see children making their way across the border, or were they in detention where you were?
Well, you know, what's funny is they're in detention immediately because there are two groups that are coming across the border. There are the Mexicans that come across and they get sent right back, and those are mostly young men, the usual suspects, and what we see a lot in California. But what we don't see in California are these Central American children. And, you know, sometimes they have their mom with them. But a lot of times it's just a bunch of kids and these smugglers who are getting $5,000, $7,000 a head to bring these kids across the border. And I can tell you one example. My colleague Mark Potter, who was embedded along with Border Patrol on, I believe it was Friday afternoon, saw a few groups come over and just talked to this little girl named Amy, and she was by herself. She was 7. She's cute as a bug. She earnest, you know, very earnest and really, really excited to see the Border Patrol agents. You know, the guys, they run, but the kids, when they get there, they're like, we made it, and they turn themselves in. So she pulled out of her pocket her mom's address. She's looking for her mom. Her mom is either in North Carolina or Chicago. And she's from Honduras.
That's a stretch.
Yeah, she's from Honduras. She couldn't remember. I mean, she's a kid. She's 7. But she was digging through this little plastic bag she'd been carrying for 2 weeks looking for the address and was panicked because she couldn't find it. And then she was like, oh, it's in my back pocket, and handed it over. And she was all grins and really just happy. And, you know, I mean, they're kids. And that's the thing that I think you have to kind of see for yourself. It is a humanitarian crisis.
Are they in good shape at that stage of the game, or are they battered? Are they sunburned? Are they emaciated?
No, the ones I saw look great. You know, the beast, the big train, derailed last week. So everyone we saw come through the last few days came up on buses. So they weren't on that awful train, which is less expensive because, you know, they just jump on, jump off. I think they had a quicker trip. It was like 10, 11, 12 days. But, you know, they're in good spirits. They're dehydrated, but they're not emaciated. They're not filthy. You know, they've been in the river. But yeah, good spirits. And the people here in Texas, when they show up, they're cheering. They're like, you made it. You did it. You made it, you know, because you want them to feel welcome because they're just kids. And I can't even drive that point home enough.
Jennifer, Jay's been following a story that we think is breaking. News organizations that have been headlining this have just kind of been hinting at it. They haven't really come out and said it yet. But Jay, where does this stand? What is it exactly?
Well, apparently there are reports that are circling now that bodies are washing up at the Rio Grande River. And they're the bodies of kids.
Right.
And
well,
have you seen any of that?
No, I didn't see any bodies washing up, but this doesn't surprise me because they've been through such a terrible journey. And there are bodies of kids scattered all across the desert on their way, you know, all throughout Mexico. And, you know, if they wash up on the shores of the Rio Grande in Texas, that somehow is a bigger deal than a child dead in the desert in Mexico. I don't understand really the distinction, but I did see that report. It came out of Fox News.
Right.
The reporter that was moving with them Saturday morning very early with the Border Patrol. And I know, you know, the Border Patrol tell you they've seen dead kids. They've seen them all along the riverbanks. A lot of them don't make it. This isn't news. The thing that I think happened is they grabbed that headline from Fox and Drudge put it up as his top story, and that's been making the rounds. Like, this is just happening just now, but you guys, this has been happening for a couple of years.
Well, Jennifer, we know you have a plane to catch. Just if I could get you to make one last comment, and this will be kind of off the cuff, and I don't mean to turn things political, but when President Obama visited Texas and Texas Governor Rick Perry said, you know what, you got to see the border, and then it turned into this whole kind of political standoff thing where the president said, well, you know, I get briefed every day on what's happening down there. But Rick Perry said, well, no, really, you got to see the border. Ultimately, it never happened. Now that you've seen the border, What do you think the president could see from going down there?
He's got to see the border. He's got to see these kids. You know, he has kids. He likes kids. And he's like, I look at these kids and my heart breaks. But I know the president has kids. He likes kids. He's got to see the border. And I don't know what the solution is, but I'm thinking because the kids in Central America, they have to be adjudicated before they're sent back. That's what slows the process down, so they keep them here. You know, bring judges to the border and get it done there.
Yeah.
You know?
That would be one solution, and it'll take money to do that, which is what the president's asking Congress for right now.
Or just make all the rules the same. I think there's something going through Congress tomorrow about making all the rules the same, whether you come from Mexico or Honduras or Guatemala, because right now, if you come from Canada or Mexico, you're turned right back around, and it's very straightforward. And what we see in California, they catch you, they send you back. But but with the Central American kids, there's that gray area, and that has really put them in danger.
That's a 2008 anti-trafficking law that they're trying to basically overturn and just say, look, we've got a problem here, and we need to make it uniform, so it's just, you know, you stamp in, you stamp out, and we'll see.
Yeah, emergency status to take care of what's happening right here without creating a longer-term problem. And the biggest problem is the court, as you point out correctly, because the wait time, by some estimates, is 550 days to get get into the court for processing.
Yeah, so they get a summons and then they never show up. But if they just got busloads and busloads of judges down to the border instead of sending busloads and busloads of people up all throughout the United States that we'll never see again, that might be a solution. But yeah. I don't know what judge is going to want to volunteer for
and
that.
And how many judges we bring out of retirement to do that? You know, just a little side job. All right,
exactly.
Jennifer. Well, we're going to let you go get your comfy seat. We know you're sitting near the front of the plane. As typical, and we will talk to you again from the newsroom tomorrow here on this program, and you have safe travels on your flight.
You bet.
That's our Jennifer Bjorklund, live from Texas after her eyewitness visit to the border. Pretty hard stuff to think about, isn't it?
Well, it's heavy.
It's a human tragedy.
It's really, really heavy, but the president definitely needs to get down there. You know, he has to see it. And if he says he doesn't want it to be a photo op, then just say no media.
Yeah.
But he's got to go down there. He's got to see what's happening.
Right. But see, that's only one side of the equation. He could go down there and get all the compassion and empathy needed. But then he still needs Congress to work with him on some kind of solution.
Yeah.
And so it's a—
What's he asking for?
$3.7 billion. And about half of that would go toward judges and court costs and that sort of thing to make it happen. And the rest on enforcement and other items.
You know, that amount of money would make one heck of a fence. Just saying.
Well.
You'd find a way
the border. The people I've spoken to who have visited the border, half of them say, you can't put a fence up here that's going to be any use. And other people, they say, you can. But so I haven't been there. I can't make that decision. But that's one of those things that's up for, I think, discussion.
Absolutely.
I thought Jen was on vacation down there. I didn't realize that she was on assignment.
No, she was working. She's been working all weekend down there at the border.
Because I thought that's an odd vacation choice, you know. To go down to the border and because I was like, how are you getting so close? And then I realized she was on assignment, so it's
$3.7 billion would build a pretty nice hotel. Is that what you're saying?
I'm sure it would help with the situation.
All right,
I don't think it's a fence. That's
well, now that we're all chuckling, it's time to take a break because it almost sounds inappropriate, but we do have another human tragedy to report to you. But it's one of those things that'll make you absolutely squeamish when you hear it. And all I can tell you, it has to do with eyeballs. And it's next here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and not back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. We came back quickly, didn't we? This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends here on KFWB News Talk 980. See, we'll never leave you alone with your thoughts for too long. Before coming back, Jennifer Bjorklund is on a plane headed back to Southern California from the Texas border with Mexico. Jay Capodonia, Chris Martin are both here in the studio with me. I'm Phil Hewlett. Hi. All right, so Jay, we're ready to be squeamed.
Okay, brace yourselves.
Is that a verb? Can we use that?
I think so. I don't know. Somebody will use it in a newscast at some point.
All right, yeah. All right, so what's going on?
There's a really disturbing story out of Taiwan.
Uh-oh.
Young girl. She is a Taiwanese undergraduate, so smart girl. But she uses contact lenses.
Yeah.
Well, she left them in for 6 months, Phil. Whoa,
6 months?
6 months. Now, I don't know. I don't use contacts. I do wear glasses. I don't know how it works. But evidently, you're supposed to take them out every night and disinfect them.
Yeah, or toss them if they're the disposable kind.
There is an actual thing. And this is what it's called, acanthamoebic keratitis.
Thank you, doctor.
Yes, and I'm surprised I actually got that out in
well
one
done.
Shot. So what happened to her, she got this rare thing.
What is it again?
Acanthamoebic keratitis.
You've been practicing.
I have. And what happened is an amoeba.
An amoeba. It can never go well.
Got in between her eye.
No.
And the contact lens and started eating her eye.
No.
And burrowed its way into the eye.
Oh.
And started eating the bacteria that's in, you know, just the natural bacteria that's in your eyeball.
I cannot open my eyes while you speak.
So she is now legally blind.
Oh. That's awful. That's an awful story.
I just lost my appetite.
Take your contacts out.
Clean
people.
Them.
I had a roommate that I stayed with for a long time, and I could tell he was one of those guys that did that. He'd even take the one-a-days, and he'd wear them for way too long. And you knew when he walked into the room, his eyes would be bloodshot and glassy.
Yeah.
It would look like he'd rub sand in his eyes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's when you, That's
apparently what it feels like.
I haven't changed them out yet. And it's like, man,
two of my daughters wear these, my older daughter. She has these stories. She says she sees girls take their contact lenses out, put them in their mouth to clean them, and then stick them back in. And she said at other times, in public bathrooms at restaurants or bars or whatever, girls will take their contacts out, put them on the counter next to the sink.
No. Why would you do
imagine
that?
Swimming around on
to fix their mascara, their eyeshadow, or whatever the heck it is.
But they can't do it with a contact
lens. And
then
they stick the contacts back in.
Oh, God.
So one girl she saw at a party dropped her contact lens on the kitchen floor at the party, picked it up, put it in her mouth, stuck it back in her eyes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I've seen that.
You have?
Yeah, I've seen it. My cousins all wear contacts, too. I've seen them store it in their mouths while they're putting on makeup, and then they'll just stick it back out on their eyes.
You gotta be a hardcore chick.
As we've learned from the story out of Taiwan, you could catch an amoeba.
Yes, and it'll eat your eye.
And it'll give you what?
Acanthamoebic keratitis.
Boy.
All right, so we're all done with the World Cup. We're getting ready for the Women's World Cup. That's happening in Canada.
Right.
They're going to try to ride the coattails of all the excitement, the increased interest here in the United States about soccer, and we're just going to try to ride on that draft ourselves. And what's new about the World Cup, Chris?
Well, we all know that Germany won the World Cup.
Who?
Which, it was a low-scoring game. First off, interesting side note. You know, Germany doesn't actually get to keep the World Cup, the one that they hoist at the end of this with the gold ball on top.
Yeah.
They don't get to keep it. They don't get to take it home with them. This thing, this trophy is like 14 pounds. It's 75% pure 18-karat gold.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Very expensive. They have it valued at $10 million. So the winning team doesn't actually get to keep it because it got stolen a bunch of times in the past. So now they get a replica. They get one wrapped in gold foil, looks just like it, and it has delicious milk chocolate in the middle of it.
It
so
does you not. Are, oh, shut up, dude.
No, but what they do get a replica.
That was pretty good.
They get a replica of it that's the gold-plated
replica.
People
are gullible. Don't just say stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, if I can end it with a just kidding, then,
what's the truth? What do they take home?
They do. They take home a replica. It's exactly like it, only it's gold-plated instead of solid gold. Gold, 75% 18 karat. Now, not too upsetting to Germany when you consider the fact that to the winner goes the spoils. Oh, wait, Victor goes the spoils. 1% of FIFA's revenue went to the winner. That means Germany hauled in $35 million for their soccer team for winning.
That is pretty good.
Yeah, not a bad haul, right? Second place got $25 million, which was Argentina. And just for comparison, the USA and all the groups that made it to the quarterfinals got $9 million each.
No kidding. So $9 million. For those losers from Brazil.
Right. Yes.
And $9 million for the Dutch, for Netherlands, right? $9 million. They all get $9
million. All of them got $9 million. Wow. And that's in addition to the $1.5 million that every team got for training from FIFA. By the way, real quick before I end this too, this means, if I did the math correctly, that FIFA pulled in about $4.5 billion through this whole World Cup venture down there.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, while we're talking about money, you want to know what the 10 highest grossing concert tours are so far this year?
Do I ever?
Oh, yeah.
We'll start at number 10. That talented dude, Bruno Mars, bringing in $42.6 million so far.
Not bad.
I think you can get a key to heaven for that.
Can you? All right. And here we have Cher, still touring.
Wow, I didn't know that.
$48.5 million. Well, technically, she's not touring. That's sales from her Vegas show.
Oh, okay.
Which is not bad. Billy Joel, $50.7 million. The Eagles, nice time to come out of retirement, $54 million. George Strait, $61.8 million.
That was a huge tour. Yeah.
Michael Bublé, $62.2 million. Bruce Springsteen, still doing it, $64.9 million. Justin Timberlake. Did I just hear a groan in the control room?
You can hear it all the way through the soundproof glass.
Yes. Bringing money back, $110.2 million.
Can I guess number one?
Not yet.
Okay.
Because number two is Rolling Stones. Did that just ruin your number one guess?
Wow. Wait a second.
Number two is Rolling Stones. $115.1 million.
Who could possibly bring in more money than the Rolling Stones? They tour all over.
Yeah. By the way, the number one? Yeah. You still want to guess?
Well, I would have to say
it's not the Stones.
I don't even know.
With $131.5 million so far this year, One Direction.
No, come on.
Yes.
Those punks.
That would have never even entered my mind.
They're not old enough to see over the counter of an ice cream truck.
That sounds like a segue.
That's a Phil segue. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up because you're in for a ride. So a woman allegedly stole a pair of underwear from the Dollar General store in South Carolina. And then, as a getaway car, she jumped in a nearby ice cream truck and drove away. Cops found her pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Don't you just let somebody have that, by the way, if they steal underwear? You're like, okay. You probably
from the dollar store?
Yeah, from the dollar store. Those can't be great underwear. They're like made of paper.
Just in case. Well, you'll never catch supermodels wearing that kind of underwear, will you?
No, you won't. But one supermodel you will catch that's a little upset is Chrissy Teigen. She was on the cover of Sports Illustrated 50th anniversary, and she's married to John Legend. She said she hates Forever 21, and they suck because they booked her a while ago and took some photos. She's sitting in the makeup chair, and they said, they just told us that you're fat and you need to have your measurements taken. So she's hated him ever since, and she is letting her opinions be known. She says, I hate you, Forever 21. I hate you so much.
Is she chunky for a supermodel?
Oh, she has. She looks good to me, I'll tell you that, Phil. I think we need to put a picture of her up on the site. Let the fans decide.
I think somebody, our web wizard, is one step ahead of you. There she is on the show fun page
beautiful.
At PhilHewlettAndFriends.com.
Holy.
Check
hey,
it out.
Harley Davidson actually patented the sound that comes out of the tailpipe of their motorcycles. Today in Santa Monica, people are firing up the new Harley model, and nobody is hearing a sound. That's next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. You are listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends here on KFWB News Talk 980. We're on every weekday afternoon at 2 with Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Campadonia, Chris Martin, and moi. Big doings in Santa Monica today, courtesy of Harley Davidson, where they are showing off their brand new electric. I said electric. Motorcycle.
What? Doesn't that kind of like defeat the purpose of owning a Harley?
Well, I mean, one would think, right? One would think. Joining us live is the Senior Vice President of Harley Davidson, Ken Osterman. Hey, Ken, how are you, buddy?
I'm excellent. How are you today, Phil?
Absolutely wonderful. Hey, this is very intriguing to me. Tell us about Project Livewire.
So Harley-Davidson is embodying the spirit of American reinvention by introducing and showcasing the first electric Harley-Davidson. And we're doing that by bringing innovation to the street to get feedback from customers on what they expect from an electric motorcycle that is authentic Harley-Davidson.
All right, so you're getting feedback. Is there an actual electric bike out there?
So the bike is not available for sale, but we have built a number of these bikes really as demonstrators so that customers can ride them and let us know what they think about it. And we believe, you know, it's a new dimension to the Harley-Davidson look, sound, and feel that is truly authentic.
I can tell you the picture that you have on your website, and we linked to the picture on our show fun page at PhilHewlettAndFriends.com. It's just a spectacular-looking bike. Just looks like power. Is the concept 100% electric?
It is 100% electric. And you know, if you think about, and I know since we can't all actually see the bike right now, you know, imagine, you know, a traditional Harley-Davidson with that jewel of the V-twin motor. And the electric motorcycle is much the same, except with an electric motor at that center, and really designed our designers and engineers worked to sculpt the rest of the motorcycle around that electric motor. And it's an exhilarating, fun, nimble ride to have. It actually goes 0 to 60 in just under 4 seconds.
Wow, that you could leave your facial hair at the sidewalk with that kind of displacement. So that's a lot of power. How much of a charge does it hold?
So as we have them today, as I mentioned to you before, these are really just set up for customers to give us feedback. We don't have a product that's for sale in the market yet. So they've been optimized for this demo experience. So in that form, they have a range of about 53 miles. And that's one of the things we're asking customers for their feedback on is how long would you like an electric motorcycle to be able to go?
Is there any kind of a recharging process as you're riding when you hit the brakes, maybe?
Of course. So there is regenerative braking built in. And so as you decelerate, that does put some of that energy back into the battery to give you more energy to continue your journey further.
So let's say we get all the way down the road and you've got you're out of the prototype phase and you're ready to mass produce these and sell them at all the Harley dealers across the country. What kind of a word are you getting so far from bikers? Let me put this in perspective. A guy rolls up to Sturgis on an electric Harley.
I don't want to be that guy.
Has the Harley-Davidson community evolved to the point where that'll be acceptable? What do you think? I mean, it's a fair question to ask, isn't it?
Absolutely. And so here's what I can tell you, because we've been on the road now for a couple weeks at dealerships and other places. Like right now, we're down at 2nd and Santa Monica Boulevard with existing customers, competitive riders, and some folks that don't have a motorcycle license at all and have never been on two wheels. And I can tell you universally, you know, we're seeing huge smiles, great excitement with folks that are coming off this bike. And that's one of the things that's most interesting and gratifying to me is that it has broad appeal because it's not just a great electric motorcycle. It's a awesome motorcycle that just happens to be electric.
Yeah, our guy here, Chris Martin, he has a question for you about the transmission.
Well, I'm just curious because on any normal motorcycle, you would have a clutch and you would have gears down and or up. Is this one automatic? Do you just reel back on the throttle and it's going to go?
Well, so it's hard to actually even call it automatic because automatic wouldn't be quite accurate. Automatic would imply that it's shifting automatically. This is actually a single-speed gearbox, which means that there is no clutch, there is no need to shift, and so when you get on the motorcycle, the controls at your handlebars are really just that throttle control on the right grip and then a front brake and a rear brake, which, by the way, you really don't have to use all that much because of the regenerative braking as you release the throttle.
So what you hear is just a nice, long... Which begs the question, because aside from just the wonderful looks, the American steel, the classic Harley looks of the various styles, Harley also has that patented, and if I'm not mistaken, it is patented, sound of the tailpipe. So this, at least in that perspective, is when you say electric Harley-Davidson, it's a kind of a contradiction of terms, isn't it?
Well, we obviously don't think so. And it is, as I was saying before, a new expression of the authentic Harley-Davidson look, sound, and feel. And what you might think about when you think of other electric vehicles, I mean, sometimes when people are ready to hop on this bike, they're thinking, you know, kind of golf cart, and they get off thinking rocket ship. To help you picture the noise, imagine kind of a jet turbine or think, you know, a jet fighter on an aircraft carrier. That's the kind of sound that our engineers actually designed into the product. So unlike other electric vehicles that are often, you know, silent or near silent, our engineers made a very purposeful sound with the way that they positioned the engine in the chassis and then a beveled gear to turn that power right to a belt final drive.
And that is so Harley-Davidson, isn't it, to come up with a specific sound? I mean, that's a wonderful answer, and I'm glad you said so.
It's part of our DNA to have, you know, an iconic look, sound, and feel.
Yeah.
And there's almost no other way to appreciate this new sound of Harley-Davidson than to get on it and ride it.
Are you willing to disclose the price range that you guys are considering at this stage of the game?
Well, you know, if we had a price range, it would be one thing, but we don't have a price range.
Okay.
So that's part of why we're out here talking to customers. And we have two trucks, each with 11 bikes, one that's primarily West Coast and one that's primarily East Coast. But they're crisscrossing the country, you know, through the rest of the year here to get feedback from customers. And then we're going to take it to Canada and Europe and continue on in the U.S. next year.
So the Santa Monica, the Project Livewire there in Santa Monica at 2nd and what? Is the cross street?
We're at 2nd and Santa Monica Boulevard.
All right, and you'll be there till 5 o'clock, correct?
We're here till 5 o'clock today. We encourage people to come out. we have what we call a jumpstart experience, which is a live wire that's mounted in a simulated riding experience. So even those without a motorcycle license can hop on there, fire it up, and feel, you know, that exhilaration and hear that jet turbine sound.
All right, I'm pulling out my license right now, and I'm looking for, there it is, class CM1. I could take one of those out on the road, right? Okay.
Perfect. We'd love to see you down here.
Good to go till 5 o'clock. Thank you so much, Ken Osterman with Harley-Davidson. He's the senior VP of the company, and just a spectacular future ahead for Harley-Davidson. Can't wait to see those on the road.
Well, thank you for having me today.
Thank you. What do you think, guys? An all-electric Harley, and it doesn't sound like a wind-up. It sounds like something like a jet engine, he said.
It defeats the purpose of owning a Harley. You want that blah, 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 blah.
Oh, the thump?
Yeah.
The thump. What do you think of the Sturgis scenario?
Oh, he will be laughed out of there.
Well, the bike is pretty cool. We were looking at a picture of it, and it is sleek.
Yeah, again, we posted one on the show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com if you want to just take a look at it. It's a monstrous-looking vehicle.
Seems like they have some bugs to work out, though, with the fact that it only goes 60 miles before it needs a recharge.
Right. Well, see, they've got the Teslas going a couple hundred miles now, don't they?
So yeah, and you would think something smaller, you could actually get it to go further. Maybe even you hybrid it a little
bit. But that's a big car with a lot of battery in it, and there's only so much space in that motorcycle. But not as much weight either, so there's that. All right, tell you what. Up next, this guy gets paid to get the party started and keep it going. The nation's top corporate event planner joins us live right here, next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Welcome back here to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980. We thank you for visiting our website. Send us some feedback at our email address, feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com. We have a Twitter address, @AsWeSeeItShow. Follow us. Friend us on Facebook. Like us. All those things. Hey, are you staging an event? It's never easy when you do it yourself. Why not bring in a pro? In fact, why not bring in the nation's top event planner to make your party zing? Darren Johnson is just that guy, and he's here with us now. We're going to learn all about parties. Darren, hi. You're the guy who plans events for Microsoft, Disney, Universal Studios, Coca-Cola, among others. And those companies don't mess around, I suspect, and neither do you, right?
Yep. Hey, thanks for having me.
So tell us, what kind of budgets do you work with when you work with a company like Microsoft, for instance? Is it a sky's the limit kind of thing?
No, it depends on what the goal of the event is, and it's, you know, they do many, many events in different destinations. So it's all about what the goal of the event is. If it's a customer appreciation event, it may have one type of budget. If it's a employee recognition event, it may have another type of budget. If it's a big launch for a new, you know, product or widget or game box or software or something, it may have some crazy number. So, you know, it could be as little as $50,000. It could be as much as several million.
See, what I do when I set up the parties, and it's, maybe we can mind meld here, you know, and compare notes. I get on the phone with the guy, and I rent the tables and the chairs and the moon bouncer, and I'm good to go. That's pretty much what you do, right?
It's similar but different.
How so?
Well, I can't remember the last time I ever had a moonwalk, but But there's just a couple more phone calls that I make than the guy with the tables and chairs.
I got you. All right. So talk about some of the more unusual requests that you've gotten.
I know we've done multi-day events on cruise ships going from island to island. We've done events on in airplane hangars and football stadiums, obviously hotels, ballrooms, racetracks, the Daytona 500, done them for sporting football games, NBA, you name it. Yeah, the more bizarre the venue, the more people like it today.
So when somebody calls you up and they say, Darren, we want to have this at Texas Stadium. So now you have to call up Texas Stadium and say, all right, we're going to have this party and we need to rent the place on this day. And then they give you a price and your jaw falls to the table. And then you negotiate a different price. And then you call back the client and you say, okay, here's what it's going to cost. And I'm gathering that amount that you negotiated off, you add on when you talk to the client.
Yeah, well, normally, just securing the venue would be one piece of it. So in the case of if it was, Jerry's place, you rent the stadium and then you bring in whatever entertainment that is going to be there, whether it's a Aerosmith, the Eagles, or it's a steel drum band. Then, you got your sound, your lighting, your staging,
security.
Yeah. So a lot of times at venues like that are public arenas that are used to producing events, they have most of the infrastructure in place from security, food, beverage, power, a lot of that stuff. You usually only have to bring in, the production requirements for the entertainment, maybe the transportation to get the people to the event. You handle all the branding. But these new venues, these new arenas, these new stadiums and stuff, man, these guys have built them to produce killer events, that's for sure.
And when you put on these corporate events, all these corporate people, they know who you are now, that you've got a name out there, and they, I imagine, maybe you've had to put on, a celebrity wedding or something, have you?
No, I typically steer away from that. The only weddings I've done, I did mine, and I did my oldest daughter's.
You planned your own wedding?
Yeah, I did. It was 20 years ago this month. My wife and I had just celebrating our 20th, and we started our business together 22 years ago, and we did our own wedding. So.
This guy's a type A.
Yeah, when you go to other people's parties that you had nothing to do with, do you sit there and critique every little element of the party?
Man, this sucks.
It's funny, because my wife always has this little talk to me before we go in. Darren, don't sit there and look around. Don't try to figure out what's in the meatball. Don't say paper this and that, or the lighting, the music, and then what have you. So no, I'm very good now. I'm kind of past that. So
yeah.
I'm just happy that I don't have to do anything other than have a good time and go home.
Well, you sound like you're a lot of fun, but I imagine this isn't all just fun. I mean, give us a look into some of the unwelcome or perhaps even terrifying things that can happen.
Well, yeah, there's many things from entertainment. I mean, I can't tell you, name acts, speakers, bands, whatever, have travel delays. Snowstorm in February all of a sudden shuts the airport down and they can't get out, and they're supposed to go on tomorrow morning at 9, and they've closed Logan Airport for a monster blizzard or something. I mean, those things put you in a panic. Things like weather, you're doing an outdoor event, it could be at a stadium or racetrack or something like that, and you've got a big front coming in that's gonna give you 12 inches of rain and 40 mile an hour winds, and you have many things that terrify you or the things you cannot control. And Mother Nature seems to have a pretty odd sense of humor in whipping things up that can undermine your event.
Yeah. Well, you have a book. It's called Going Live, Insider Secrets to Corporate Event Production. Now, why in the world would you invite competition by writing this book?
Well, yeah, it's really not competition. I've been doing this for 32 years, and I speak at various universities and stuff, and I wrote the book more with the purpose of teaching the next generation. Because when I started, this wasn't even an industry. I mean, it was – I don't even know what we called it back then. But the reality is when I see these kids and they – the event business has grown so much, and like I said, I want to help as many of the kids learn from all of the things I had to learn the hard way. So if I can teach you to make sure don't let your generator run out of fuel halfway through the event, and you know, because that's happened to me.
Yeah, because the moon bouncer will collapse on the kids, and you never want that to happen.
Collapsing on the kids is nothing. It's when the squall comes and the moon bounce goes flying a quarter mile down
with
the kids in it. Did you see that just happen to us last weekend?
Oh, it did.
Yeah. There was a rash of them for a while.
Yeah, I mean, they're like projectiles.
All right, so you're going to help us throw a better party.
Yep.
But on the scale we're accustomed to, I mean, help me out a little bit, because you're not coming to work for me for chicken feed, which is all I'm working with.
Yep.
And so I'm going to have to do it on my own or hire somebody's aunt to come over. What are some of the basic things for maybe $1,000? I'm going to blow the wad, $1,000 on a party for about 50 people this weekend. And make it 20 people. And what are the basics to putting together a good party?
Well, you know, if I had to just nail it down just to two things, you have to have some type of music or entertainment. It doesn't have to be live, but the least needs to be, it could be your iPod, it could be whatever, but you have to have music. The biggest buzzkill there is, or vibe killer, is dead air.
Yep.
And the other thing is
alcohol, right?
Well, you know, alcohol. You know, if it fits within the deal. I mean, I'm a pretty big proponent of alcohol. It usually makes the party a lot more fun. So, and also it'll let you play the music a lot louder. But so, you know, I'm going to just say alcohol is a given, but the other thing is, too, is lighting. You know what? Cool lighting, whether it's candles, it's, you know, just funky, you know, it could be multicolored fiesta lights that you string around or whatever.
And let me guess one more thing. Buy off the local police.
Yes. I have one of my best friends is the city manager here, so every party that I have at my house, I've got a cop out here making sure everybody's behaved. It's more of a deterrent than anything, but also, keep my friends safe.
There you go. He's the nation's top corporate event planner. He's written the book, Going Live, Insider Secrets to Corporate Event Production. It's available in the store right now at philhewlettandfriends.com. It's Darren Johnson. Thank you very much, sir. What a party animal he is, huh? How about that? Good show today, guys.
Thanks, Phil.
Jennifer's back from her trip from Texas tomorrow. You'll hear from her right here from the newsroom as well. We love your comments. Feedback at philhewlettandfriends.com, facebook.com/philhewlettandfriends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, Nick Wright, helping out in the studio. Theme song composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Jennifer, Jay, Chris, I'm Phil. Can't wait to talk with you next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.